Hey, so the grand opening was, the ribbon cutting was this morning at 7:30 for the Walmart. Were you there? I guess you couldn't make it there and then be here too.
No, I wouldn't want to disappoint you and miss this.
All right, there you go. But this is, 155,000 square feet. Obviously, to say this is going to have an impact on the West Side is interesting.
Yeah, it's an understatement. Yeah, Walmart, the grand opening there. You know, congratulations, Westside Bryant. They've been running a grocery store for over 20, I'd say, well, I would argue 30 years. And now they don't have just a grocery store. They've got a super Walmart. And if you'll go by the facility, they let tours occur on Monday night. And, of course, now it's open. But it's complete. I mean, it's huge. It's enormous. I actually, last time you asked me when it would be complete, and I do not like to predict those things. But they got it done. And they got it done a little on time. I think that'll serve as a nice anchor for that kind of gateway through Bryan, and let more folks come out to Westside to develop and live there. Westside becomes more of an opportunity to live on. I lived in Westside, and it was 20 minutes one way to go get anything.
Sure, exactly.
It's kind of nice. I know people in Houston are playing their small violins, but in Bryan, that's inconvenient. So glad to see that opening. And
But it's going to change traffic patterns. I mean, it really, really will. This is going to be a true game changer, I think, for Bryan.
It is. It'll change people's behavior, where they shop, where they want to live. Of course, with the improvements going on out there for infrastructure, way ahead of the game, I think Bryan looks great for that development, for those traffic changes, whether that traffic be in their car, or where that traffic be where they choose to live and shop.
I'll be interested to see. Obviously, the people at Walmart know what they're doing. This is a very diverse area there. You have rental property, you have rental units, you have duplexes, but, you know, close by you have Traditions, which are some of the most expensive houses in the city. So how they decide to stock that grocery store will be very different and interesting to see, I would think.
Yeah, I think they'll have they'll have the diversity, I'm sure, that reflects the area.
Yeah, they're smart guys. I mean, they know what they're doing. You're active in the Convention Visitors Bureau. There's been quite a bit of discussion about the use of the money that was funded them. We had the mayor of College Station talking about that last week. Since you're there and you're active in that, I'd like to hear your thoughts about the situation that caused them to basically go through the vast majority of the money that they had been funded the first time.
Well, you know, it's of course I'm seeing entire municipal budgets put together yearly in Bryan, and active in several organizations as well as committees in my service. And I would tell you, the CVB is not so much a here's your money and this is all you get this year organization. CVB exists really to help spend that hot tax money, and this is the first year of a process. And you stated well when you're speaking with Mary Berry, you showed your understanding of that. But basically, there's a process now to develop a hot grant application process to figure out who's going to get that money and how much they are. And I'll give you a great example. We met the other day, and of the money that could have been given away on the Bryan side, and I think it was up to 40,000 requested. I think 24 was granted. That money is given away 25% up front if you qualify for the amount. Let me back up. Let's say you come in, your organization wants $10,000. And you say, well, I need $10,000 because I'm going to bring in this many hotel nights. That's what really matters. And you can't prove that. You haven't booked the rooms. You've never done anything like this in the city before. You don't have a history of these organizations having this conference or whatever you're going to have in other cities. We're probably not going to request that you get the 10,000 or fulfill your request for 10,000. It might look more like, let's say, 5,000, 2,000, whatever it looks like. But you get 25% of that up front, and 75% of that after your event has taken place and you've proven the room nights. So it's a good way to protect the hot tax money from just being handed out to organizations that can't prove that they're bringing impact to the city. Each year, and this, again, the first year, you try to predict what you think you'll need money-wise from hot tax, and you're not taking all of the hot tax. It's still there, and it exists for this purpose. And when all of that hot tax isn't used, but you still have people, the organizations you've granted money to initially have come and done their event, and you still have more people wanting to do events in your city, that's a great problem to have. So we listened to, the College Station city manager sat in with us in the hot grant review panel to see exactly how that happens and how that mindset is, who requests money, how much they get. and we determine what they're able to be offered. I think in the first year of anything, it's hard to predict an unknown. And the unknown is a lot of people want to come to Bryan College Station and hold events. That hot tax money is there for that reason. There's enough money to fund it from hot tax. And so the cities are going to, I would think, the next year or two, see a more streamlined prediction, or I guess a more accurate prediction of the annual amount. But simply, Scott, you predict a certain amount, and it's not like you're spending money going out and buying coffee and donuts. This is money being spent because money is being given to organizations to hold events here, and more events are coming here than I think were predicted.
Sure. Chuck Condola joining us this morning, and again, he is on the committee at the Convention and Visitors Bureau having to do with funding. I guess one of the things that concerned me a little bit, and I'd like for you to speak to that, is the fact that no one has gone out from either city and apparently talked to other cities who are struggling with this as well. There doesn't seem to be any sharing of information.
Well, I don't know that I could quantify that. Shannon, who's our executive, Shannon Overby, our executive director of convention.
Well, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the cities. I'm talking about the entities that are putting money into this pot that CVB is going to use. Has the city of Bryan reached out to the city of Denton and said, hey, how do y'all struggle with this? I mean, because I don't believe the city of College Station's done that, and to my knowledge, neither has the city of Bryan.
No, I don't think so. I would argue that the CVB and Bryan College Station is definitely setting boundaries. I think you've got a lot of other CVBs looking to them for direction and leadership of what they're doing. You look at the collaboration with Texas A&M and the county and the two cities for the Kyle Field Agreement. Mm-hmm. You look at hot taxes. We're being regularly meeting with and bringing in the people that are writing the legislation for hot taxes in the state of Texas. And I would say that it's kind of on the forefront. But I don't see that collaboration with other cities personally. As a guy on the city of Bryan Council,
do you think it's important, I guess?
I think collaboration is important if you believe you have a problem. But I think that this whole thing, and you know, far be it for the written media and Bryan to ever get anything wrong, I think that this has been presented as though it were a huge problem. And what you have is people that want to come to your community and use your hot tax mm-hmm. money, and a committee that determines whether or not they can. It is that simple. Mm-hmm. So you have more people coming than you thought you were having. I think a lot of other cities would die to have that problem. Sure. And I call it a problem when parentheses, you can't see those parentheses on the radio. It's a great problem to mm-hmm. have. People want to come here, and the money is there to help them with their events. It brings more money in. That's how the world goes around with hot tax.
Sure. Well, and again, I don't know that I expressed it necessarily properly, but I would have to think, based on the population base of Bryan College Station, I mean, the amount of hot money that comes in here per capita is pretty amazing.
Oh, I'm sure it's three or four times what most cities this size.
And again, obviously A&M is going to be the driver to that, but Bryan is going to become a bigger player. Obviously, you have more rooms that are going to be built in years to come. And
sure.
College Station will probably be the biggest player for the foreseeable future, but Bryan has a very bright future from the standpoint of more hotel rooms being added.
We just opened the Hilton Garden Inn on University. It's beautiful right across. And this is, again, so great about our community is not only does not only do you have more hot tax coming in per capita, but you have the two cities bouncing off each other and helping each other. We've got a new Hilton Garden Inn right in Bryan, right down the street from Texas A&M, right across the street from Veterans Park. We just had the signing for Aggies Go to War, and we'll probably have that located at Veterans Park eventually, is what I hope. That's the location. And, you know, the hotel benefits from that. It benefits from, of course, everything going on in Bryan, as well as things going across the street and down the street in College Station. But Bryan is representative of the amount of hot tax dollars it brings to the community. I have a vote on the executive committee for CVB, and College Station has two representatives. Mm-hmm. I think as that money changes, as Bryan becomes a bigger player, is bringing more dollars in, that representation will change. But no, you're exactly right. Bryan is on its way to provide more hot tax money to an ever-growing pot in the community.
Sure. Well, you know, when Chuck Condola joining us this morning from Bryan City Council, we love to talk about blue skies and sunshine, but there is trouble in BISD. Things are not going well there. The TEA was in to have a look at what Bryan is doing to move forward in that. There comes a time when that impacts your city as well. That in mind, Bryan is going to propose a bond issue. So as one member of council, how do you feel about that proposal as you know it?
You know, as a member of Bryan City Council, not Bryan Independent School Board, I'm always careful to speak as though I am an expert on BISD matters. But to your statement that BISD affects the city of Bryan, that time is not coming. That's here. Mm-hmm. I think BISD continues to have an unfair representation in our local media, particularly our local printed media.
And what is that? Define that then for me. Expand on that some.
I think the Eagle is very critical of BISD unfairly often. And I think both ISDs have a lot of issue. Our superintendent, when he was moving here, was at a barbecue with some friends. And one of the guys there was a friend of a friend he was introduced to as a realtor. And he gets to talking with a realtor, tells him that he's moving to the area. And the realtor says, "Oh, well, I've got to look at some houses. Where do you want to live?" And he says, "Bryan." The guy says, "Oh, you don't want to live in Bryan. You know, BISD's terrible." Well, he didn't know he was talking to the future superintendent of BISD, who quickly corrected him and said, "No, I intend to live in Bryan."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the time, he couldn't reveal who he was and what he was doing.
Sure.
I'm a Bryan guy. I'm from Bryan. My brothers and sisters went to BISD, and BISD has per capita more going on than any school district in the state as far as extracurricular programs and things for children to get involved in, non-typical degree plans. Everything that it has and offers is, I think, incredible. But you never hear about that. What you hear about is, I think, a systemic issue where you have a socioeconomic makeup where you have a lot of folks that get in trouble. They get in trouble with the law. They don't go to school. They skip, what have you. There's fights. And that happens in any school district, but in Bryan, it seems like it's paraded out and highlighted more. And that personally is something I think is unfortunate, and it hurts the area. It hurts Bryan. It hurts Bryan and College Station when that happens. But when the TEA comes in and you have curriculum looked at, and you look at how processes are done and reported, I think Dr. Wallace has done a good job explaining that he believes data entry was the shot in the foot for BISD with the TEA finding what they did recently. And so what you do moving forward is you correct those issues. The bond issue is your other question. There was a $9 million bond referendum for BISD a few years ago, and I remember being out 1 a.m. putting signs in the ground for that one. I think BISD is going to need improvement, and more money is part of it, but you can't just throw money at the problem. Processes and people, I think, are the two biggest things you fix for the number one goal of helping the student. And I think BISD is on its way to do that. And I want to learn more about the bond issue as it comes up. Right now, though, on the outset, I think it's a great idea. It's needed.
Yeah. And I guess I'm hearing an endorsement then?
I'm hearing a lukewarm one right now. But again, I don't want to speak as an expert yet because I haven't, frankly, looked into the matter as much. I've been looking into City of Bryan matters quite a bit lately.
Sure. Well, okay. That's what I've got. You have anything for us this morning?
Well, just wanted to also give a shout out. A lot of people don't understand what the Bryan Business Council does. There was talk from folks that the new Walmart was given $5 million to come here. And again, the BBC worked out a great deal with the developer where there would be sales tax paid back to the developer up to a certain amount over a certain amount of time. There's no money coming out of a taxpayer's pocket. And here you have Walmart coming in that is an anchor. And Scott, I would love, love, love to tell you the two major things that are coming in by Walmart, but I can't. But this is a big game changer for West Side. It's not just a grocery store. It's an anchor to bring in other businesses and other jobs and other opportunities for people in the area to live and work in Bryan. And anyway, the BBC looks toward managing opportunities for people that are looking at coming to Bryan or expanding in Bryan or moving their operations to Bryan with retail, medical, office, business parks, downtown, bio corridor, culture, airfield, a lot of things. And BBC worked hard at developing the agreement with this developer to bring Walmart. So go shop the new Walmart. Know that your BBC is working hard for you. Also, it's Drunk Driving Awareness Month. The City of Bryan Communications Department has issued a special report called The Price of DWI. It can be watched on the city's website. And it's an expensive thing to do, not only because of the money, but because of what it could cost someone else for irresponsible behavior. So if you go to bryantx.gov, you can see that there.
Great. Let me ask you one more quick thing. I'd forgotten to do this earlier. The mayor spoke to this, and I think he's the one who should definitely speak to it because he is the only person who's sitting on council now that has someone related to him on a board or commission that's appointed by the council. But there is a group that's putting a petition out, circulating it to possibly rescind that. So as one member of council, how do you feel about the idea of related individuals being on boards and councils that are appointed by or commissions that are appointed by council?
I have no problem with it, and I've served on the council since 2010. You have 150 different positions with one gentleman related to the mayor. What does he serve on? Well, one, the guy is a successful real estate professional, and two, he's a gigantic history buff, very well studied in history. So he serves on historical preservation and PNZ, those two things make sense. Why did he get selected there? Because seven members, not six, not five, seven members, including one of the former councilmen and failed mayor candidate who put this petition together, voted for him to be on those committees. I think this is a political witch hunt by a group of people who can't win the mayor's race, so they then come back with sticky in the eye, things like this. This has gone on in Bryan as well as other cities. The state attorneys general covers these things very well in their laws. These are non-paid positions, and if this group of very angry individuals, and I'll name names, Mike Sutherland, Lloyd Joyce, Karen Hall, are leading this petition drive, they're continually talking about how terribly Bryan is doing. Karen Hall has sued the city many times and lost over the last few years. I think there's a lot of sour grapes there. And it's an angry group of people that I really wish would look at the good things going on in Bryan as a result of the talented people that serve on our boards and committees, related or not. So one person out of 150 is related, and therefore we should change the city charter because of the appearance somehow that there's an issue. I think it's asinine, and it's insulting to the people that serve on the committees. Not even those that may be related, but those that aren't related. It says, well, you don't have the integrity to do your job well because you may be related to someone. And the bigger issue it causes is the way that this charter amendment is written, it means that people that are related to me, and I mean, that's like every third person in Bryan, can't serve on anything. They can't serve on a board or on a committee. I mean, are you going to tell me that you don't want my brother, Father David, praying for people if the city's doing something? I mean, my brother Joe, who's a irrigation licensed irrigator, can't volunteer and work for the city in a project that they're doing maybe for the Boys and Girls Club. I mean, it sounds like a great bumper sticker. Oh, yeah, people shouldn't be related. Well, they shouldn't be, according to the state attorneys general. No one is related to me can work for the city and get paid money. And I think that's a great law. But if a member of my family who I trust, who I know to be an expert on something, wants to serve on a board of committee, that's what elected office is. I am elected by the citizens, and by a large amount I was elected by the citizens over the two gentlemen that challenged me. And I take that as a serious charge, not something to brag about. I'm very humbled by that. And if I'm going to pick someone for a board or committee, it's going to be someone that I am aware of that has maybe reached out to me and let me know they're interested in that committee and given me a good presentation as to why they're talented enough to serve on it. And whether or not they came from the same mom or the same, you know, or an uncle or a second cousin as me, it really doesn't matter, Scott. It's the person. Now, that said, there's people that are related to me that I wouldn't hire to be on committees, and we all have those. But that said, it's a non-paid position and a referendum about nothing. I think it's sour grapes and really sad that the city of Bryan is being challenged to spend a lot more money to, you know, we had an election coming up for SMD 3 and 4 this November. Now we're going to have to do a citywide election. It's going to cost about another $40,000 to do a citywide election, all for, in my opinion, sour grapes. I think it's terrible.
Chuck Conroy, thanks for the thoughts and the time this morning.
Yeah, for the record, Jethro Trivia, I've gotten to do it one time since elected in 2010. I got to answer one question.
All right, so there. We'll try to do better next time.
Just saying.
All right, there you go. It's Chuck Conroy here. We visit with folks from the City of Bryan on Wednesdays, usually the mayor, but Chuck in this morning. And our community segment is brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Agency, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.